What's up, everyone? This is Press X to Start Podcast, and this is episode 11 of season 5. We here at Press X seek to transform the video game media landscape through an underserved and protected point of view, and bring restorative justice for the underrepresented programmers, developers, and consumers. I'm your host, your heavyweight champion from Wichita, California, a.k.a. the janitor because of the Washington, a.k.a. Marcus. Mr. Ellison, if you're nasty.
It is I, DJ, a.k.a. Sexy Bad Choices, a.k.a. Did you know?
What?
I got nothing in the tank today, so we're just going to keep it moving.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, I didn't have an a.k.a. last week. You don't have a did you know this week? You know, we're running on fumes.
It's your boy Jordan, a.k.a. JXBot, a.k.a. the negative three Avenger, a.k.a. the black Captain America.
Oh.
The one the United States didn't tell you about.
Ooh. Blacked in America.
I can't wait till we talk about that.
I can't wait to review this, you know, this Falcon and Winter Soldier TV show. Mm-hmm. Man, oh man. Mm-hmm. It was right down the street. I was like, it was in Baltimore. I was like, oh shit. Like, there's Sam running down the street from the cops.
Jordan peeked out his window like, wait, what?
I know, right? Like, why are you arguing? Oh shit, it's Falcon.
I remember when they said they was going to Baltimore, and I'm like, they're not about to do what I think they're about to do, is they? And then the moment they opened that door, I'm like, oh my God, Foggy, you son of a bitch.
You know, what would have been funny is, like, you know, they were like, I know a guy. But, like, instead of, like, the Wakanda, like, tribal drums, it was, like, Bottom of My House music. Right.
That would have been fire.
You can't Wu-Tang better than me. You can't Wu-Tang better than me.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Hold up. Wait a minute.
It's time for the percolator.
I know. Yeah. It's time. you missed your opportunity. You missed your opportunity, Marvel. You fucked up.
Finally.
Oh, man. But now that we're all introduced, we're going to go into what we've been playing. And to start us off, let us know what you've been playing, DJ.
Monster Hunter Rise, guys. I've been playing Monster Hunter Rise.
Terrible.
Actually, I should say the demo. I've been playing the demo.
I heard good things, though.
Yeah, it's really good, surprisingly. I would almost say that it is better than almost forgot Monster Hunter World.
Mm-hmm.
Monster Hunter Rise is essentially, people have been touting it as the upgrade to the Nintendo version of Monster Hunter, but for me, it feels like the upgrade to the Monster Hunter World version of Monster Hunter.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah, in this game, it's the same format. You go fight monsters, you get loot from monsters, and then you upgrade your armor and you upgrade your loadout, essentially, to become a better Monster Hunter. The feature that they add in this game is the wire bug, which increases your mobility while you're fighting to, like, you're basically almost twice as fast in terms of the things you can do and how you can adapt to fighting a monster than you were in Monster Hunter World, which is amazing, because for me, that was the issue that I had. I felt like actually fighting the monsters was cool, and like reading the monsters and know when to hit, that was great. But I always felt like my character wasn't able to just do the basic things, like, all right, I need to get out of this situation. Like, I just gotta run over to the wall and hope the monster doesn't hit me. And then, of course, the monster hits you. So,
yeah,
like, stuff like that is really awesome. They really prioritize just fighting the monsters over the other little things that you can do in Monster Hunter World, which is like resource gathering and like building or crafting different things that can help you fight the monster to better prepare you, essentially. I'm having a good time. So the reason why I haven't bought the game is that I'm actually planning on playing the game fully while we're like dealing with the baby stuff. So I might buy I plan on buying the game around like end of April, early May, because we're doing on May 10th. So that will probably be my hospital game.
Well, sounds like your last twilight hours of being a true gamer, my guy. It was pleasure. Right? Pleasure knowing you.
Next, the week after. So, DJ, what you been playing? I've been playing warming up baby bottles. That's what I've been playing.
I've been playing Peppa Pig. So my main question to Monster Hunter, is there a Mila Jovovich skin?
So far, no.
Then it's a 0 out of 10. Don't want to hear nothing else. Marcus, what have you been playing?
But wait, before we jump off, there are Palicos, which are your cat supports. And
okay. Wait, is one of them one of them have a Mila Jovovich skin? Little Mila Jovovich skin?
Lilu Dallas Multipass?
If you squint really hard and take like 2 shots of vodka, yes. Yes.
2 shots.
DJ, you ain't never taking no shots of vodka in your life.
I didn't say me. I didn't say me. At no point did I say me. I said you.
All right.
There's a difference.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, that sounds good.
Oh, you also get a like wolf that you can ride that also helps with the mobility in the game.
You son of a bitch, I'm in.
Yeah. If you like Monster Hunter, definitely check it out. At least play the demo.
For some reason, I think wolf mounts are in style. I've been seeing a lot of games of wolf mounts. It's like, fucking Assassin's Creed had a wolf mount. That's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm.
Really? Rattle had a wolf mount. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right, yeah.
I think deep down, we've all wanted to either have some sort of wolf companion or a wolf steed. So, you know.
Well, better than the fucking horse.
This is true. This is true.
Marcus.
Yeah, I don't have much new to bring up. More Overwatch, always playing Overwatch, and went back to Ratchet and Clank. Still making my way through that until the Rift comes out.
Fucking love that game.
I just got to the Hall of Heroes part of the game.
Okay, that's fun.
That's been pretty cool. That whole train set piece was fire.
That was
amazing.
That's like one of the best remakes that I've ever played was Ratchet and Clank for 2016, because you had like levels from the original one back on the PS2, but yeah, they did Cinemax did an amazing job with that game.
That whole set piece was fantastic. I will say that the shit combat is terrible.
Oh yeah, that's never gonna be just, good. Never gonna be good.
Like
when I was a kid, I thought that shit was dope because like it's like a game in the game, you know what I mean? But no, like older that and the skateboarding section is hard as fuck.
Oh, the rail grinding.
Just the
stuff.
Fact that you mapped. Like, you can't move the camera in those situations, so you have to just move. Yeah, I just didn't like that section. And not all of the comedy works for me. It kind of feels very Borderlands-esque, where it's like, some of these jokes work for me, but most of the time I'm not in on the joke, so I'm kind of like,
The thing is, I kind of wonder if those jokes would land if you had played it when it first came out.
Well, yeah. Maybe. Donald, to your point, when I was a kid, I was on the ground rolling. I mean, I never had a video game like that. That'd be that self-aware in terms of its content. And but no, Marcus, I totally understand your point. You know, as an adult, and we've gone through a lot more comedy, you know, shows and
right.
You know, it's very tongue-in-cheek, you know, style comedy.
Yeah, and so those are the two ones, really. Outside of that, I upgraded my Watch Dogs Legion to the PS5 Watch Dogs Legion.
What them graphics be like?
Just out of curiosity, thinking, you know, okay, you know, I'll dip my toe back in and finish the game, because I never actually finished the game. I was like at the last mission, and then I think was it Ghost of Tsushima? Or something came out that I just started playing instead.
Anything. The answer was anything else came out.
Or it might have been Cyberpunk. Either way, something else came out. Mm. And
every time you say Cyberpunk, you gotta put in that sound. You go to the next thing. My bad. Keep going. Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk.
So I booted up the game. Excited to see what the PS5 graphics are going to look like, see any ray tracing and all that stuff, and the game basically dumped me back to the prologue mission and was like, you have bought a new game. And I'm like, excuse me? So my save just doesn't
don't exist.
Transfer Sorry. Over it on the PS5 was like, nah, nigga, you played the PS4 version is what you did.
That's PS5 was like, new number, who this?
Exactly. That's an entirely different game, sir. So you're going to either have to put in the work or get out of here. And so I That's promptly wild. Deleted Watch Dogs Legion off my PlayStation 5.
That is so telling, at least compared to my story last week with Avengers, which we get. I'm sorry, Marcus, did you have anything else to say?
No, that's it. Yeah. Go on, take over.
Like, yeah, like smart delivery, godsend, Xbox to the right with the optimization and the cloud saves. But I could have done the same error with Avengers on PS5 if I had downloaded the PS5 version, played the PS5 version before transferring the PS4 saves over. So many people fucked up their shit. Like, it's kind of, it's a growing reality that, you know, if the company is not explicit on how the save transfer process is between PS4 and PS5, people are losing their, you know, work. Like, that, like, even back to the last console generation, there's one game called Need for Speed Rivals.
I'm aware of it.
Which I had like about 20 hours in, but then there was a glitch that fucked up my, you know, save or whatever. It's like, well, it's like one of those poorly optimized Need for Speed games ever. But yeah, never touched it again. Like, once you lose that save, like, that's like, you've wasted my time.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, and these types of games like Need for Speed, Watch Dogs Legion, they're not necessarily, or I can't speak to Need for Speed, but I can speak to Watch Dogs Legion. Mm-hmm. It's not a good enough game for me to be like, oh man, my saves are gone. Wrong. Fine, I'll play this over again. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're not wrong. I mean, like, Need for Speed is a very like, let's fucking go at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, like, you're not going to lose sleep saying, oh, well, what's up? My shit's fucking started over for you.
Exactly, right.
No. all right, let me stop wasting our time and talk about the Avengers.
Let me stop wasting your time to waste more of your time.
So I finished the DLC, both Kate Bishop and Clint Barton.
Oh.
I put it at about 7 hours. Okay. Clint Barton's story was more interesting because it deals with the Future Imperfect storyline, the Days of Future Past, like Old Man Logan, Mephesto,
without any of the X-Men.
Yeah, without any of the X-Men. Like, you had Old Man Hawkeye.
Okay.
And remember, Hawkeye was a part of the
story. It's just interesting to see them explore that without any of the X-Men.
So, yeah, I mean, like, you know, they introduced, and I'm pretty sure Marvel's, like, you kind of tell when publishers are putting more capital into characters. Like, DC's doing that with King Shark. Like, King Shark's been shit. He's all over the place now. Mm-hmm. But I feel Marvel's doing that with Mephesto, Future Hulk, you know, as a potential antagonist down the line. But, you know, he's kind of a weird character that, you know, most people don't know about. But in Clint's story, he was the main bad guy. Like, in Kate's story, the main bad guy was, like, this fucking super android that, like, you know, had all the powers of Iron Man and Thor and Captain America. Just smacked the
fuck
out of
two guys. One of the big
three,
yes.
Mm-hmm. And then it switched over to Clint's story, which is more fascinating because it took you to a new area. What'd you say, DJ? You always say some sneeze, though. What'd you say?
One of the big three.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Androids? Yeah, Androids,
aliens, or wizards.
There we go.
Aliens or wizards. Yes. So, yes. But Clint's story was more interesting because it did go to the future where, you know, you play the main game, those Kree Sentinels or whatever, fucked up. Like, they came alive, they fucked up everyone's shit. All people, everyone's dead because of them because the Kree invaded, blah, 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 blah. Then at the very end, you face off against Mephesto. And, you know, Festo was like, you know, I don't know what the fuck his motivations were. He was just chilling.
I'm just here to fuck shit up.
Mephesto is the devil. That's basically what his thing is.
So, like, it's
Wait, was Hawkeye like, why? Everyone's dead. Like,
no, sorry, not Mephesto, Maestro. Maestro.
Oh, okay, okay.
Future Hulk.
Got you.
Smart yeah. Hulk.
I was a little confused. I was like, is Mephesto mind-controlling Hulk? But okay, that makes... Okay.
Who's Maestro? Everyone. What is Maestro?
Maestro is Hulk in the future without Banner's personality. Hulk is smart by himself. Banner's no longer there. He destroyed, killed Banner subconsciously, mm-hmm. and he's just stuck in Hulk form.
Really. And he's an absolute savage.
He's an oppressor. He takes over the Badlands. Mm-hmm. But so that's the story. Gameplay wise, Kate and Hawkeye fundamentally are the same in terms of style. Like they both mm-hmm. have a sword for close combat, which is pretty dope. Like a bat, you know, like just, you know, kind of slaps people around.
to use a sword as a bat, how disrespectful.
But like, it's a huge sword. Like it's a huge
right,
sword
right, right.
that that, you know, just like able to juggle people and stuff like that. But the range is the arrow. Mm-hmm. And they have various types. Like I think Kate has explosive while Hawkeye has like sticky arrows or whatever. I don't know, electric arrows. Mm. But their ultimates are different, to which Kate's ultimate is you can use the arrow rapid fire, but super strong.
Okay.
While Hawkeye's ultimate is the arrow is like Yondu or whatever from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, and Holmes.
Yeah, Holmes.
Oh, okay.
And hits everyone in the battlefield. So they're both pretty cool. Like, their ultimates are pretty cool, but fundamentally they have most of the same styles, you know. But I would say that Kate is more of the evasive type, while Hawkeye's more of the brawler.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and to a final point, the DLC associated with this game, like its model is not sustainable based on revenue. Like even though they may have like more gamers playing it for the time being, once again, not that
five
much,
times more, Jordan. Five times
500, 2500. So
yeah, you have a point.
That's a flash in the pan. Like they are going to be gone.
Yeah, the revenue. Like, Square Enix is going to see the spreadsheet and see that the revenue is greatly exceeded by the production of it. Like this was a pretty high production DLC, mm-hmm. in my opinion. And it had a whole new area and like new cutscenes and all this. But if they want to keep that same quality of, you know, of DLC for every character, like the revenue's not there. People aren't playing. Like I'm done with that game until Black Panther comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Full stop. I'm so, not. Mm-hmm.
Now, I actually have a question. Yes, we know Black Panther is going to come out. We know that Spider-Man is slated to come out, but
and
we don't
War Machine.
Know. Oh, and War Machine too.
Yeah, War Machine. Well, like War Machine is one of the assumed people too.
Oh, okay. I mean, because yeah, they've assumed Moon Knight and other people mm-hmm. as well.
Okay. My question though is, do you think Spider-Man's actually going to come out? Because
I don't know.
I feel
it depends
like
on the way these next two. I mean, well, Hawkeye one performed well enough, but I really feel like it depends on how Black Panther does and how they're able to retain gamers.
Because
I don't think they're going to bother if people mm-hmm. just aren't playing the game anymore.
Right.
Because Black Panther is going to have a bigger splash than Hawkeye. Like a way bigger splash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like now that they've seen it, okay, Hawkeye has impacted numbers and he's like a D tier character.
Right.
You bring in an A tier character like Black Panther, that will probably, you know, quintuple. You know, or, you know, multiply it by 10.
You would think.
Yeah, exactly. But we don't know.
Hope.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they drop fucking Black Panther in the middle of the fall like around all those other games, and fuck them. You know, like, seriously, God of War is coming out, Halo's coming out, Battlefield.
It's a wrap.
And Call of Duty, like, those fuckers are going to do it. Watch them. They're going to be the top shit.
I love Black Panther, and I would not play Black Panther DLC over God of War 2.
Racist. Yeah, that's what I've been playing.
All right, well, that is what we've been playing this week. And before we go any further, we're going to have a word from our sponsors, us. our YouTube channel is very lonely. And we appreciate a lot of the new listeners and just the increased listenership to our podcast. We appreciate you guys. We appreciate some of you that have come over to our Instagram. We would greatly appreciate it if you would go over to our YouTube and subscribe as well, because we are trying to ramp up getting more content to you there as well. So,
yes,
please go to our YouTube, which is Press X to Start TV.
Or you can go to pressx2start.com/YouTube.
Exactly. I didn't get to say sponsor us, nigga.
Hey there, enjoying the episode? Want to hear more? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have subscribed, great. Spread the word. Tell everybody. To follow us on social media, check us out on Facebook and Instagram at PressX2Start, Twitter at PressX2S, and YouTube now at PressX2StartTV. And if you've done all of this already, well done.
And we are back. And before we go into the quick hits, we are going to give a quick leg update. And for those of you that don't know what leg is, because it's been a little bit since we talked about it, that is our gaming fantasy league, the League of Extraordinary Gamers. So yes. Take it away, DJ, with our leg update.
Well, there has been some movement, and guess who doesn't have negative points anymore? It's your boy, DJ, a.k.a. the man in fourth place, but still bragging like he's in first place. Anyways, number one, first place person is the person who started this and then just completely forgot about it and then just got super lucky with Monster Hunter Rise.
I am furious.
he had Prince of Persia on his list. He had Bayonetta 3 and fucking Zelda.
Cam, more than any of us, was designed to fail in this league. And then he had the golden goose of Monster Hunter Rise, and he is now somehow in first place.
So he has 14 points right now. He's sitting pretty. Douglas has Cam has 17 points.
17 yeah. points.
Douglas has 14 points. Sean has 12. I have 10 points. I am now in fourth place.
Now, remember, like, I believe you were negative 7, right, DJ, at a point?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't like to talk about the past too much. You know, the past is the past.
So the way this works is, though DJ also got 17 points, say, like Cam, he had to make up those negative 7 to get to 0, and then they allocated 10 points to him. So in terms of, like, you know, performance-wise, DJ's not the type of sock you want to invest in right now. Kind of like GameStop.
DJ would have been in first place he didn't fall prey to that fucking last preview video of Destruction All-Stars. I'm like, oh, this shit looks good.
It was because it said SSX, man. Just buy SSX stocks next time.
And then sitting at last, we have Marcus at 4 points. Oh, did I say Jordan? Jordan has 7?
No, I'm at 7 right now.
Okay, yeah. And then Marcus has 4.
I may be in last place, but at least I never dipped into negatives, so I'm okay with this.
Oh, we gonna see about that.
There's a lot of year left. Like, I was looking at my list, and I'm like, you know, people been whispering about Halo being pushed back and God of War being pushed back, so my shit could be time bomb, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna be in last place probably for the foreseeable future, because I don't know when most of the games on my list are going to be coming out this year. So yeah. I might have 4 points for the next, like, 2 months. So we'll see what happens.
In all honesty, I do believe May and June, we're starting to get a lot more game information. Because this would be, like, the first true year of this current generation and the content they want to put out. Because both Microsoft and Sony don't want to go a year in without a temple. I mean, you know, Sony's doing Ratchet and Clank. God of War's big. You know what I mean? Halo's big. So they want to put their best foot forward this fall. Get that money.
So definitely expect more updates in the summer and fall. But for now, this is probably going to be the last update you get for a little bit, because it was a significant jump for several people.
This is true.
So now it's time for the quick hits.
Number one, this comes from The Verge. Microsoft rebrands Xbox Live to Xbox Network. Xbox Network refers to the underlying Xbox Online service, which was updated in the Microsoft Service Agreement, says Microsoft spokesperson. I nailed it. In a statement to The Verge. The update from Xbox Live to Xbox Network is intended to distinguish the underlying services from Xbox Live Gold memberships. So this is great. I mean,
yeah, no, this is them yeeting Live. Online access is always chosen by the company, you know, like as a toll booth, basically. Mm-hmm. So Microsoft's like, you know what? Seeing that we already folded in Live into Game Pass, why the fuck do we want to have Live as a separate entity? Same thing as PlayStation Network. PlayStation Network essentially is PlayStation Plus.
Right.
But Network is, like, you know, the ontology of PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Online. So Microsoft wants to follow suit, especially with Game Pass. You know, going to play that shit on the PC, phone, and, you know, your smart televisions. They're not trying to have that Live thing anymore. So, you know, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's just like PlayStation Network is the whole infrastructure, and then you have PlayStation Plus, which is the additive to the network, which is like the service thing that you get, whereas mm-hmm. Xbox, like Xbox Live and Game Pass kind of always fought each other because they kind of provided similar things in terms of Xbox Live is a service that you go to experience playing Xbox online, but then Xbox Game Pass was you also go online to play that stuff, but it's like the game that you get, whereas now there's more similarities between PlayStation Network and then Xbox Network.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, like once Live became a part of Game Pass Ultimate, Live became irrelevant. You know, exactly. like just fucking play Ultimate.
Number two, this comes from Xbox Wire. Over 20 ID at Xbox games are coming day one with Xbox Game Pass. So this was interesting because for right now, I'm going to say if you really want to see the games, you can just go watch the 4 hour long Twitch stream.
I know it was fucking four hours.
It's a whole Snyder cut worth of a live stream.
Bruh. Like, it was weird because
it's probably more interesting, though. I'm just kidding.
Well, this was weird because this was actually the first time that Twitch has ever been given something like this to put out. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to, I'm going to coin the word, Twitchify it. And they did this by having Twitch streamers like talk about. Too late. I already said it. It's canon now.
Well, they interviewed the actual publisher, the developers of these games, which made it a little bit longer.
Mm. Right. And it's 20 games, so it's a lot of content. And it's like,
yeah,
that's great. But when it comes to indie games like this, we as in the gamers, we as consumer of this media, we're accustomed to seeing like maybe a half hour block of just like the 20 games. And then from mm-hmm. there, we go and try to find more information on the games. Whereas in it here is like talking more in depth about each game. And I don't exactly know what the numbers were for it, but it's interesting. Some of the standout games from it was Boyfriend Dungeon, which was the top down, like real time strategy RPG game where you
top down to get your eagle on.
You play as a girl and each weapon that you can use to fight in the dungeon turns into a boyfriend.
That's the most anime sounding game. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yep. So if you're interested in that, check that out.
It's like reverse Scott Pilgrim.
Yes, exactly. there's also Nobody Saves the World. I don't know anything about this game, but it's made by Drinkbox Studios, which is a studio that made Guacamelee.
I'm very excited about this game, like in terms of its style, the cartoony style, like Alien Hominin, you know, style of it. It's like, Gundam Scholar, but Yeah.
I just looked up the game. The style is really interesting.
And it's come. Okay, keep going, my bad.
Oh, no. And then I was just going to say that Stalker 2 also showed up during the showcase.
So, well, what I was saying before the podcast, what Game Pass has done, it's a case-by-case basis, because all these games are coming to Game Pass, like, day one. Mm-hmm. And what happens is there's multiple pathways for a company to establish your contract with Game Pass. And one of the ways is Microsoft will actually foot the production of said game for it to be on Game Pass. And the game developer can make revenue through other means via that, you know, property. So, you know, there's a lot of variety here, you know, and Game Pass has continued to expand week after week.
Oh, this is actually a side quick hit that I forgot to mention during the my talks of Monster Hunter. Masaki Hayama, who runs a VR dev studio, allowed all of his employees to take off on March 26th for Monster Hunter Rise.
Must be nice.
He coined the day Monhun Day. So that was awesome. And like, just like, yeah, you know, go play the game, enjoy. Anyways, number three, this comes from Pure Xbox. Xbox Game Pass subscribers spend 20% more on gaming, says executive. That's wild, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's the whole philosophy behind, if you have a quote-unquote free game or a game that you pay with subscription, you're more likely to spend money on it because you haven't spent $60 on that specific game.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It's revolutionary, the formula they have here. Right. What Game Pass has become.
I will fully call Jordan Nostradamus because of the way that he called Game Pass being such a big hit.
Oh, I try.
I also joined on that too, by the way.
Did you though?
I did, yes. I was saying that like Sony's gonna lose this generation because it's gonna be a generation of services and not games, and I feel like that's gonna happen still. Anyways, number four, this comes from comicbook.com. Halo Infinite reveals a new gun. Did you actually look at this?
I looked at the gun. I mean, like, it's just a submachine gun with a fucking bayonet on it. Like, I said in the post, like, you know, there was a time when Halo guns, like the Covenant guns and the Banisher or a Covenant faction, were both unique in design and function, be it the plasma rifle, be it the Needler, the plasma pistol. But, you know, I mean, if the gunplay is still good, then I don't have a problem with these style of weapons. And, like, you want to attribute it to, you know, whatever, like, build new things for new faction. But, yeah, I wasn't super impressed by it, you know. Like, it's not like a fucking energy sword or a brood hammer, you know. It's like,
yeah, that's the thing. Like, I looked into this, and it's called the Skewer. It's going to be wielded by the Banished, who are going to be the primary antagonists for Halo Infinite.
Yes.
I was looking. I thought they were going to show like actual like gameplay of how it worked.
No, they
didn't show anything like that. So it was just kind of like, okay, cool. I guess I'll see when it actually comes out, what it looks like.
I don't even know why this is a fucking cricket. That is, I was like, this is nothing.
It does sound a little bit like they were grasping for straws. Like, okay, let's take a submachine gun and throw a knife on it.
It's funny. Nailed because it. Like the gun design of the Didac, like when 343 took over and made new alien guns other than Covenant.
Yeah.
But like their designs were cool, but their function was very much so the same. It was like, this is a rifle, this is a submachine gun, this is a light machine gun, this is a rocket launcher, but all fucking shiny and shit. So 343 just needs help when it comes to the, maybe you can help them, DJ, in the gun design department.
Hey, you know, hire me. As a black person, we know about guns.
Oh, well, oh, I didn't God, say all apparently. That. Jesus. So dumb. In terms of gun ownership, that claim is very wrong.
Well, one of us does know about guns. His name is Sean Emma Frost.
Yeah. What the MF stand for?
Motherfucking guns.
The G side.
He'll love that one. Number five. This goes from Deadline. Ghost of Tsushima movie is in the works with John Wick director.
Why?
I don't, whatever, man.
Because Sony likes making movies. They can't get off the movie trick. They like making movies.
It's just, like, of all of the upcoming, maybe not all of them, but of the more recent gaming video game movie announcements that have come out recently, or video game media announcements, this just seems the most unnecessary. Like, The Last of Us as a TV show makes sense, especially because they're going to be trying to explore other things outside of what we've seen. Yes, they're going to be remixing elements of Joel and Ellie's story, but they're going to show other things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Uncharted is exploring a period of Drake's life that we did not see in the games. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost of Tsushima, first off, that was a playable samurai movie. And then on top of that, unless they're going to show what happens after the events of Ghost Tsushima, I don't know what the movie's going to be.
It's going to literally be a traveling samurai who helps people in town fight one enemy.
That sounds like several Akira Kurosawa movies. whatever.
The way that I summarize this movie is that this movie is based on a game based off of multiple movies.
Yeah.
That is very true. That's Inception right there.
And I love Ghost of Tsushima as a game. And I don't know how I would feel about watching that, because it's just like, this is cool. I want to do this.
Right.
Like, I
will say this at least. No matter how unnecessary this movie might be, we don't know anything about it because we've only just heard the announcement and the director.
This is true.
The action is going to be fantastic.
And I'll be there for that. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Speaking of things to be there for, number six, this comes from Bloomberg. Not really. Nintendo Nintendo to use faster NVIDIA chip in new 2021 Switch model. So there's been a lot of rumors and speculations about a potential new Switch dropping this year. So for this leak, I'm going to say quote unquote leak, because we don't know if this is actually true or not, like all leaks. It's supposed to release this year. It's supposed to have a 7-inch 720p OLED screen.
Sorry.
Did you chuckle at 7 inches?
Yes.
It's also supposed to have DLSS. So that's actually, that is supposed to be for, I forget what the DLSS stands for, but it is for dynamically scaling picture quality. And it's, that's part of like NVIDIA's new technology where you're able to get, I want to say it's like 1080p or maybe even, I don't think it's 4K. I think it's 1080p.
720p, that's low.
Yeah, well, that's for the screen though. So if this new Switch model does docking, the dock actually might give you 4K quality if you're using DLSS, and that's what that does.
Mm-hmm.
On CPU. Top of that, you're going to have better CPU, more memory. There will be lots of games because...
Cool.
Why the fuck is that even a thing that people say anymore?
I don't know. And it's got to promise them something, I guess.
Right. And it's a possibility that this Switch might cost $400, which is the same price as the digital version of the PS5, which no one can get, so...
Well, I imagine this new Switch will also have... scalping issues compared to all these other electronics. Like, the global supply chain is all fucked up.
At this point, I'm just going to assume that every generation going forward, we're going to have to deal with scalping issues because of what's happened this time.
Well, I mean, if we no longer use brick and mortar stores, like that was a big thing now. Like, no one wanted to go into the store and risk their life for a game. But, you know, 7 years to the future, if there's another consideration, you know, maybe we're back in the stores. We don't have to worry about this that much. But for the foreseeable future, yeah.
Unless we get super corona.
Oh, Lord. Wait, does that give you superpowers? Because if it does...
You might be onto something.
But speaking of stores and being onto something, this comes from VGC. Reggie Fils-Aimé is set to leave the GameStop board after 1 year. And then there is a companion article that says that GameStop shares falls 15% after hours as COO resigns.
Make your money, King. Get out of there while you can.
Yeah.
GameStop is, it's, come on. I mean, like, there is a compliment to this story to which they are switching to more hardware sales, be it computer parts, like a Newegg or, you know, Micro Center. But come on.
Yeah, it's interesting. I still feel like it's going to happen, but it's not going to happen now where GameStop is going to eventually die. I still think they are required in places where internet is not as prevalent as the coastal areas. So I feel like as long as GameStop can keep that, they'll still be afloat.
Well, but I mean, it's like
none of this is good news, though.
Like, it's what's happening now, and like, no, you're not wrong in saying that. Actually, it's in many urban areas where upload speeds can be fairly spotty.
That's true.
Due to the lack of fiber optics or whatever that's usually found in the suburban areas, and like this infrastructure that prevents fiber optic upgrades in large cities like New York and Baltimore and DC. But at the same time, people are just downloading the game. Then they don't really worry about upload speeds too much. You're just downloading it, and you just download it overnight. Because, yeah, a lot of people are downloading games and not going to the store for them.
Right. So, yeah, there's that. If you want more information, you can check that out on VGC. But next up, we have... This number 8 comes from the 6th Axis. Marvel Avengers see huge boost in players following Hawkeye DLC. We kind of talked about this a bit during... Jordan's talk about the game's DLC, but for the actual numbers, because we all care about that. All right, here we go. This is impressive. The Marvel's Avengers witnessed a peak player count around 550, which rose to around 2,600, now sitting at 2,100 in the past 24 hours.
And I was one of those. I was like, woo! I was the only one in Baltimore playing this fucking game.
Yo, Jordan's like, represent.
Represent. It's time for Percolator.
Right? It's Blasting Club. Yo, that is wild, and this is literally following the same footsteps as Anthem.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You're not wrong.
So Marvel Avengers is still lagging behind its chief competitors in the live game Crucible, which is, I don't know why they compare these two, but Warframe and Destiny peaking at 74,000 and 71,000 respectively.
Jesus Christ.
Good God.
Destiny's still fire.
How are you lagging behind games that came out like 5-6 years ago?
But 74 and 71,000 is a pretty substantial number. Hey, those years after.
That's what I'm saying.
You want to know something crazy? Warframe was a launch title for the PS4.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was for free.
Wild. And it was free, yeah. That is wild.
That might be the same. Make it free.
I mean, it's too late now.
That'd be like a game coming out in the PlayStation 2 era and the bouncer still outselling it, even though it was like 5 years old.
That's funny that you say that. Speaking of bouncing, this comes from PC Gamer. Cyberpunk 2077 lead gameplay designer leaves Cyberpunk or CD Projekt Red.
So we bounced. I see what you did there.
Ooh, so he has a very strong name with a lot of letters that
sounds European to me.
Andres Zawadiski.
Andres Zawadiski. There you go. A lead gameplay designer on Cyberpunk 2077 has announced that he will be leaving the studio after nearly 8 years with the company. It's not surprising. Mm-hmm. They've had a very large swath of bad luck.
Big ol' L.
Yeah. You know what? I take it back. It's not bad luck. It's bad everything else.
No, Warner Brothers wanted to bullshit, and the wrong people were in the wrong room with a lot of power, and they decided to force CD Projekt Red to cut corners.
Mm-hmm.
And putting talented people in a compromised situation in terms of their profession, I'd imagine it was crushing for them
to be forced.
Like they didn't agree to shit. They were forced to release that game on PS4 and Xbox One. They were forced to have it come out last fall. It makes you worried about Gotham Knights in a way.
I don't know if I would go with all that. The only reason why I'm hesitant about agreeing with that entirely is because the game was shown or was talked about on the PS4
mm-hmm.
and on the Xbox One. So it's kind of like, if that's the game that it was marketed to, then that's where it should come out. And then you guys should make sure that it works on that version.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can talk about next gen or whatever. But like, it's just a mess.
I mean, like, you know what, like Warner Brothers was the one that was like pushing for it to be on like to double dip between console generations too, you know.
No, that's
like,
true.
I mean, Warner Brothers has a history of forcing circles into square pegs, so
especially with Arkham Knight, that fiasco.
I meant circles into square holes, you know what I meant.
Arkham Knight with that fiasco in the PC version, like, no, like Warner Brothers, they can do some shady shit. Or they've done some shady shit.
You're not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Number 10, this comes from Pure Xbox. Back 4 Blood has been delayed till October. This is fine. You know, as long as the game comes out and it is satisfactory and it's not like Cyberpunk, then good. Delay it however you need to delay it.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. Number 11, this comes from Eurogamer. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 Plus 2 has a convoluted $10 upgrade for PS5 and Xbox Series S/X. So I was kind of reading into this, and it's just there's no consistency between the two consoles. So you'll pay a $10 upgrade to unlock a cross-gen deluxe bundle unless you own the game's digital deluxe version currently, and you can't upgrade any disc copy on Xbox, even if you want to pay, but you can on PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a mess. If you are playing that game and you have to upgrade, please make sure you read this carefully so you know what you're doing beforehand and you don't fuck yourself, pretty much.
And it's clear that this upgrade system is very much so in a publisher's court on how they want to go about it. Mm-hmm. You do have some publishers that are like, you know, less equitable about their customers, like Activision in this case. But then you have others that are more, you know, supportive of their customers by just allowing it to, hey, you paid for that version, and you get the next version because this is not your fault. You know, you shouldn't be forced to be paid all this money for shit you already own, technically.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a thing that should have been solved before we got here, but it's not. So,
yep.
Number 12, this comes from The Verge. We actually didn't get the report on this last week, or last episode, so we are here. Jade Raymond announces new Sony game studio just weeks after leaving Stadia. So if you don't know who Jade Raymond is, she is actually very prolific in the industry, and she was supposed to work on a game for EA, and things happened there. So then she moved over to Stadia, and things happened there. So now she is here. You know, I think Sony's a good home for her because they're not going to pull the same shit that EA or Stadia did. So, good. The studio is called Haven, which will be a haven for developers to work and create games.
That's good.
Right.
I mean, here's the thing. At that level, you know, it's all musical chairs. Like, once you go to the executive level of any industry, just like you're just moving around laterally. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she has a proven record, and all that shit with Stadia and EA, with Stadia specifically, is not her fault.
Right. Exactly. You know? Yeah. She was also part of Ubisoft for a bit as well, in mm-hmm. leadership roles. Yeah. But So you know, it's good news. We'll can't wait to see what her and her team create, and you know,
all right,
we'll see you then.
Good honor.
Speaking of things that are far out but kind of close, number 13 is clips from Polygon. Reports
boo.
Say that Call of Duty
Polygon.
Was that boo to Polygon or reports?
I'm it confused. Was boo to everything. I just wanted right, to boo something.
Reports say that Call of Duty 2021 will be set in World War II. Who's excited? And of course, be made by Sledgehammer Games.
But they Sledgehammer Games did the last Call of Duty World War II, which is all
and it was a good game.
But we DJ, you and I both had the visceral reaction of that first 5 minutes on that fucking beach. Just kept on dying. It's like this thing is not a tutorial. You don't have a tutorial on fucking Normandy Beach.
I mean, it's like it was a tutorial for some of them soldiers, I'll tell you that.
You know, yeah.
My leg!
Captain America uses me as a shield. I'm like, oh, shit.
I don't want this. Hey, Falcon was right, all right?
I was like, is this game on hard? Why am I dying? Like, no, you're in Normandy Beach. You're supposed to die. Like, but why am I responding?
You go to settings. Easy!
Nah, it was like that. Like, those German soldiers were crack shots. I was like, you know, Jesus. No.
What is there left to say about World War II at this point?
Well, like, there's a caveat with this story, right, DJ?
Yeah, there is a caveat. So the speculations kind of ran rapid, and then one of the leakers who leaked this information said that to change things up, it's going to be like an alternate history where, I guess, 1945 didn't happen, and we're basically the game would take place in the 50s and they're still in war, or war is still happening.
Mm-hmm.
But either Activision or Sledgehammer came out and said that, no. The going title right now is Call of Duty Vanguard, and it will be a World War II game. It's not going to be alternate history or anything like
Which is kind of a bummer then. I didn't know about that. Because, you know, there could be a scenario where, you know, Patton failed at D-Day. We didn't drop the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Mm-hmm. Those atrocities, remember, those were war crimes the United States committed. But like those sequence of events did not end the war; it prolonged it. I thought, as I said before the podcast, you know, Wolfenstein, Man in the High Castle vibes. I mean, like, you will get good stories like that, but they just want to, like, maybe it's more fucking, I don't know, the Russian front, maybe. Yeah. But that was already done in Call of Duty World at War.
Right. This all sounds very boring. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, that era has the wackest weapons.
Like, yes.
Like, the only way they could have more whack weapons is if they did a game about World War One. Like,
here's a rock and some string. Go. You're telling,
no. Well, hold up. Battlefield 1 was lit, but those guns are fake, though. The guns are fake.
That's what I'm saying.
Fake.
Exactly. So, unless you want to, you know, not have
real
realistic weapons.
I'm going to get you in here. Get your bitches.
You just wait till I clean out this barrel.
I mean, I'm just saying, Marcus, like, if someone ran up to you with, you know, M1 Grand, you know, in Southeast DC, like, are you right. Shook, or are you going to try your luck and dodge a little bit?
Oh, actually, quick clarification. The title Call of Duty World War II Vanguard was not given, or was not put out by Sledgehammer or Activision. Okay. It was another leak thing.
Man, check your sources, yeah. DJ. Jesus.
It's a lot of words, you know, and it's just don't got time for any of that. But yeah, like, I don't know. It's like, it's World War II. I feel like no one wants this, but for some reason some people are asking for it, where they feel like, yeah, we'll just do that. And it's, they don't need
it. Like, I will give them that. It is probably hands down the easiest war to make media about, because Absolutely. It is the one time where unanimously we were on the right side of things.
The right side on the western front, but there's always like those sketchy means but we did fight fascism and we destroyed fascism.
Exactly. So that's right. Like, why I understand it keeps getting cycled back to, but just like, come on now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But all right. That has been it for the quick hits, and we're gonna go into the heavy hitters. Take it away, Jordan.
So Microsoft is still flush of cash, and recently reports came out that not only was Discord going public or possibly going public, but they were seeking a potential buyer. I believe this included Amazon and Google, I believe. Maybe Epic was in there. But in the end, they are saying that Microsoft is the one in advanced talks with Discord to purchase them for a whopping $10 billion.
Sheesh.
As the week progressed, it became more and more clear that, okay, now they're just focusing on finalizing the nature of ownership, including what's being retained, what's being eliminated, and what sector under Microsoft Discord would, you know, fall under. Because when we talked about this last week, we talked about last week as a rumor, right? Or something like that about Discord.
It wasn't confirmed, I believe.
Yeah.
But, you know, about Microsoft Teams and how Microsoft handles Skype. You know, a lot of people were skeptical. But this is a new Microsoft in terms of individuals in power, be it Phil Spencer, the person that drove Skype into the ground. They're no longer there. Mm-hmm. And Microsoft Teams is doing pretty well in terms of its core function of being a business application.
Yeah.
Discord does is fall into our previous story, the Xbox Network, to which you don't have to be on a certain device to communicate with other members that have Game Pass or playing video games through Game Pass. Like, you may have people that are playing Game Pass through their phone, playing Game Pass through their PC, or playing Game Pass to their smart TV, but not on the same network as an Xbox or playing with people on Xbox. Like, that's crossplay.
Right, right.
You know, like, that is the answer to crossplay, which Microsoft has been a chief proponent of for a long time. I mean, and also, remember, it's not like a hostile takeover. Discord would have to agree to this for it to go forward. The same thing like Bethesda. They have to agree to say, all right, we're going to continue to grow. We're going to continue to move forward with more assets, with an entity that has our best interest in mind. But with that being said, yeah, I mean, like they're saying next month or May for this to go through.
This is really interesting in terms of if this goes through and Microsoft owns Discord, I wonder if it's going to be a thing where they say, okay, well, now that we own Discord, of course, it's just going to work with Xbox. Or if it's going to be a thing where it's just like, all right, cool, we own Discord. Discord, continue doing what you're doing, and we're not here. We're just gone.
Right. I mean, like,
that's the hope.
Yeah, I mean, like, they want to integrate it into the Microsoft ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure it plays on Windows and other platforms within the Microsoft ecosystem.
Yeah.
But I could see them treating this like Minecraft, to which, you know, if Sony agrees to having the app on PlayStation, then it can move forward. But if Sony does not agree and wants to continue to be homogenous, mm-hmm. and, you know, because, like, so Sony is very much so a Japanese company, and Japanese companies, at least, like, even though Sony has been shifting resources over to America and leadership to America, they are a very homogenous company that is, they're barriers to cross play with Sony.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah.
I don't think it's going to be a situation where Microsoft is going to exclude Sony. It's going to be a situation where Sony agrees to have their opponent's application mm-hmm. on their system.
Yeah.
Because you do have, like, if what you say is true, Donald, and they're going to keep doing the same thing, the Nitro settings or whatever tiers that people yeah. can apply to
yeah.
will be Microsoft revenue.
Right.
So,
but on the other side, it's interesting where, like, I feel like because this is Microsoft, it's going to be Microsoft branding. That's not going to be as bad if it was Xbox branding.
Right.
And
right.
I think that could lead to, you know, if there's a conversation with Sony about having Discord on their network, that would probably be a better situation for Sony in terms of being like, okay, yeah, we could support Discord on the PS5 and PS4.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you go to Discord's information, you see Microsoft and it's just like, okay, that's not as bad. I feel like when it comes to Sony and their walled garden approach, it's very similar to Apple, but it's less effective because they just don't have the money to really support the infrastructure all that well. Whereas Apple can
buy
the money to, like, make sure stuff works, yeah. essentially.
Mm-hmm. Well, Xbox is in the same territory as Apple in terms of,
yeah.
with these purchases.
They're in the same territory as Apple. I think the only reason why I disagree on that is because Apple is more so trying to create their own things and trying to make. Or if they see something outside, okay. they're not going to buy the company. They're going to try to make their own thing of that.
I was in a realm of size and purchasing
okay.
power.
Yes, yeah.
In terms of philosophies, yeah, those two companies are very different. And yeah. Microsoft is this, you know, stakeholder absorption style. And
right.
while Apple is more organic in how they create things, and which makes their system and products so, you know, like, insulated,
yeah.
Which has its advantages and disadvantages, but yeah, I mean, like, Phil Spencer in the past said that there were more quote unquote acquisitions, like, mm-hmm. on the horizon. This may have been what he was talking about. It's something very different than what people.
That's
had.
True, because mm-hmm. they didn't necessarily specify that it was a gaming studio that they were gonna
exactly
get next.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, this is a quality of life acquisition, in my yeah. opinion. Like, this is to support their Game Pass. Because all these Game Pass games are just, it's weird because the Game Pass ecosystem has so many pathways that it's hard to say crossplay, but at the same time, there is some history between Microsoft and Nintendo, especially with Minecraft and shit like that. So you have friend groups. They may have, you have one friend that really wants to play Minecraft on the computer, one friend that really wants to play Minecraft on Nintendo Switch, and one friend that wants to play Minecraft on Xbox. They can be in the same party and have the same party chat without MacGyvering you know, their PCs right, to make it. Because that's been a major annoyance. So, like, this is a quality of life style acquisition here.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. And, like, I think the one other thing that we should probably, you know, be aware of is that there is cadence for Sony to adapt this, seeing how Sony partnered up with Microsoft for the whole Azure system.
The cloud system.
For the cloud, yeah. So it's very possible that Sony can look at this as Microsoft being separate from Xbox and saying, oh, we actually would like that functionality on our consoles as well. So we'd like to join. Thanks. Yeah. But we'll see.
It's poisonous to them. They're like, Xbox Game Pass? No, God, no.
Why did you say that name? Why did you say that name?
We're so pure. Man, don't look crazy. Xbox is like, let me in. Let me in. I'm trying to help you out. Somebody's like, no.
Join me, brother. Right. Join me.
Oh my god.
It's like your Series X and your PS5 sitting on your on your entertainment sister. I mean, entertainment center. And Xbox is looking at PS5 like, why don't you love me, brother?
I know. they both love me at night.
And then PS5 curses at him in Japanese.
Bakayuro.
I was like, Bing, translate that.
This is what'd you say?
No, like, Xbox or Microsoft is like, Bing, translate that, and Bing's like,
actually, it would be my. I can't say her name over there because I'm gonna activate, you know, the Amazon thing. I can't say.
True.
It's Cortana.
This has been another
Cortana self destruct.
Another. This has been another splash in the news space because Microsoft's been week after week just going hard. So we'll see when this, if this will, like, it seems pretty clear that it's going to go through and Microsoft can quote unquote do no wrong right now.
Or Discord can go public. And then Microsoft can be like, all right, bet we'll just buy up 51% of the shares.
50% of your shares. Which is totally a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
absolutely
all about how much money Discord wants on the onset.
You know? Make it happen.
I guess because we use Discord for this podcast, technically that makes us an Xbox podcast for now.
Hey, it happens.
It will.
Oh my god.
Hey, Xbox has one hell of a, as we saw, you know, equity and Black Lives Matter thing, so maybe we'll get promoted. Like, hey, we use Discord, and one of us plays Xbox. One of the black people.
Catch us as the new Blacks at Xbox.
The premier podcast for Blacks at Xbox.
Hell yes.
Sony's like, Nani?
I know.
Wait, we had one. Where'd they go? Well, this has been another episode of Press A to Start. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Don't forget the ratings and reviews on your favorite podcasting apps. Every little bit helps. In case you miss any of this and more, you can find all the details and more on our website at pressx2start.com. I almost said it there. Check out our YouTube channel, check out our IG channel, check out all that stuff. Like, subscribe, and then send to your friends, share to your friends. We need the likes and the numbers. We are almost at 300 followers on IG. We need three more people. Just three more people.
Just three. Just three. It's not that hard.
Yeah, it's not. It's really not.
Please.
And then go over to our YouTube channel and do the same thing because please, thank you.
Yes.
With that being said, we out.
Uno out.
Peace.